Yo, yo, yo.
What up, what up, what up?
Man, so I was watching your weak ass Knicks.
Why would you do
Your weak ass
that?
Knicks, man. Because I actually put money on them.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yes, and
Okay.
they went in, they're in overtime right now. So
Oh, really? Oh,
against the Celtics.
shit. Let me see the fucking score.
Yeah, it's 107, 107
107s.
right
Oh, they just went to overtime. Okay,
now.
I'm
Yeah,
seeing.
they just went into overtime.
All
And
right, all right.
the Knicks, here's my problem with the Knicks. Why in the fuck do you make offensive basketball so hard for your goddamn selves? You know you have the size advantage with Cat. He ripped off like 21 in the first half. All right, he was just cooking.
Right.
Immediately in the second half, Tibbs goes away from him. I'm sorry, are you in Chicago? Do you have Derrick Rose on your team or something?
I
I'm sorry, I
wish.
think I missed something. Keep going to the hot hand. And why the fuck is Mikal Bridges guarding Jason Tatum? Jason Tatum about to give him 40. Oh my God. That's all I gotta say. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm extremely frustrated. And technically, I was a Knicks fan because I was rooting for him because I bet on him.
They can't be weak, man. Like third in the, come on. Like back-to-back 50-win seasons. They're third
Listen,
place. They're
okay.
nice in the playoff spot. Like,
Listen.
they'll be okay.
Listen.
It's the
They're a good team. I'm not taking anything away from them.
and not cursed. They're not cursed.
But I will say this. They are one of the weakest three seeds of all time. They
Oh,
can
here we
get
go.
got by any of the bottom four teams. Or no, I just say the Pistons, the Bucks, and the Pacers. They can all get them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. In Tibbs, we trust, but it's fair. I can see them being vulnerable for sure, but come on. They're better than you think.
No. I think they're worse than you think.
I can't bet against them. Not because I'm a fan this year, but because I learned my lesson for the last couple of years betting against them. So they're
You know who was
scrappy in the
with them?
playoffs.
I was with them.
You were with them. That's true. That's true.
Until I seen what I've been seeing all year, and it's like, You know what made them good in the past is what they lack now. I'll get off of the offensive side of the ball, but just in general, they lack the depth they once had. And I think that Cat trade really affected that. But then at the
That.
same time, Cat brings a lot of dynamic to that offense that they desperately need.
Yeah.
And Cat has been playing the best basketball I've ever seen him play.
There you go. Didn't he have like 44 against Miami or something? Like
Yeah.
crazy.
No, when Jalen Brunson was gone, this Knicks team looked dangerous. What
There
they
you
did to
go.
the Hawks, oh my
Yeah.
God. And Trae Young normally kills the Knicks.
See?
But what they did to the Hawks, oh my God.
Yeah, man. I'm not saying Knicks are going to go on a deep run in the playoffs or anything, but I think they'll be fine. I think it'll be a strong showing and a tough out.
Yeah, no, I think regardless of what happens to the Knicks, I think they're going to give us a very entertaining playoff run. Because even if they lose in the first round, it's going to be a tough 7 games or a
Exactly.
tough 6 games or whatever the case may be.
Yes, real gritty. So,
Yeah.
yeah, we'll cover that on the show for sure. It's going to be, I think, a very interesting playoffs how this all turns out. I'm not surprised that you're seeing the Knicks play right now because you're just kind of all over the place, man. You got this going on, you got your Pistons going on, you got baseball going on. I want to know how your baseball thing is going along, that you're a true diehard fan all of a sudden. You're just in the
Dude,
lab.
man,
How's it going?
it's going fucking fantastic. You know what I gotta say? Fuck the New York Yankees. That's what the fuck I gotta say.
Oh, good job.
The Tigers, listen, yesterday the Tigers bust the Yankees. I think it was like 7-2. Today we bust the Yankees 5-0. So it's just been smooth sailing, man. I think the Tigers won four straight games
Not bad.
after getting swept. Did we get swept? Yeah, we damn near did get swept by
I
the
think we did.
Dodgers. Yeah.
That's how it goes, man. Play them in
Yeah.
fucking games.
But I think I already got a favorite player, man.
Who's that?
Torque. My boy Torque.
Oh, man.
My boy
Okay.
Torque, man. He's
Not
so
wrong.
reliable when he's batting, man. But low key, I love how our batting rotation is. I mean, I'm still learning about the sport of baseball, obviously, so bear with me, y'all. But
Of course.
man, our batting rotation reflects the personality of our city. Aggressive, does not give a fuck. We are top two in swings per first pitch. That's how aggressive our team is, and it's paying off. We're among the top leaders in runs, man. It's been fun watching baseball, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah. Again, I'm not someone who watches it on TV, but if I'm going to a game, I'm always down, man. I mean, Miller Park, I don't care what y'all call it. It's not American Family Field. It's Miller
yeah,
Park
fuck
forever.
That.
Miller Park is a great ballpark just for a nice, easy game. I mean, it's if you're not used to going there, it could be a bit of a hassle getting around. But, like, once you've gone there once, you know your way around pretty easily. So it's very open, very accessible. It's, you know, of course, you can't beat tailgating, especially in Milwaukee, man. If y'all never tried that. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like a tailgate.
It's a lot of beer.
It's a lot of beer, but it doesn't have to be. Honestly, I think we've kind of morphed a little bit as a Milwaukeean society when it comes to our tailgating. It's grown. It's not the beers and brats are all still there, of course, but I go around and see ribs. I see steaks. I see chicken. You're like, y'all be going crazy with that shit. There's whiskey always pouring. There's always blood plastering around. Like, it's always something that's more than just the standard fare. So, yeah, man. Nobody does like Brewer fans. I mean, I wish the on-field product was worth the amount of celebration we put into tailgating. Brewers are 5-5 right now, I think. And like,
yeah, they're up on the Rockies right now.
Yeah, but they're struggling. After last season, last couple seasons, Brewers have been like sitting in that spot where we're in that nice, comfortable Central Division lead, get a title, and then they just fucking blow it first-round playoffs every single year. So they spent some money in this offseason. Everyone's thinking it's going to be good, and then that bullpen is not great. They've been really struggling. I think Royals whooped the shit out of the Brewers like 4 games in a row, so it was nasty to start the season.
It was, I think it was 3 out of 4.
Maybe 3 out of 4.
They beat the Brewers, though, in that series, I believe.
Yeah, they beat the ass.
And one game was like 11-1.
Yeah, see? And I know, like, beginning, it was like 36 runs they gave up in the first 3 games to the Yankees. That shit was nasty. So, yeah, Brewers are, you know. They got some work to do on that one. I'm hoping they turn it around because they've been hitting that ceiling, man. What's up?
I just got a quick question.
Yeah.
Before we get into other shit. So why is it in baseball you're a Brewer fan, but then other sports you're like, you know?
Yeah, I get that all the time. Because of the history. So I'm a weird guy when it comes to – I'm not just like a hometown homer kind of guy, mostly because – growing up in Milwaukee, you know, we spent enough time, you know, my step folks were from Chicago. So when we grew up, I was still, you know, pretty young and my brothers, you know, only had a couple at the time. Their family was all based out of Chicago. And around that time, I was maybe, you know, 12 to 14 years old, maybe. That's kind of when I started getting into sports. So that's the reason I'm a big Jordan fan is when I was going down to Chicago pretty much every Sunday, my mom would go to the church. My grandfather was the pastor of a church, Calgary Temple. That was iconic down in Chicago. So we would go down there for services all the fucking time. And that's where I got to learn about Michael Jordan and Walter Payton. Like, I got to see the VHSs of my uncles putting in shit. So you would, you know, have church service, go back to, you know, grandma's house, they're cooking food, but they would have the documentaries on for Walter Payton. They would have the Bulls game on. So that was where most of my sports impression came from. But when it comes to baseball, back before Miller Park ever was a thing, County Stadium was a thing here, and tickets were dirt fucking cheap because the Brewers have been ass most of my fucking life. So going to a Brewer game was $5, you know, going, you know, a couple can of Coke. And then that was cheap entertainment for my mom. So she would take us to, you know, a Brewer game because it's local. We didn't live too far away and it's super cheap versus going to a basketball game, a little bit more expensive. Oh, so yeah. I got my baseball knowledge from the Brewers. Even though I respect Wrigley, I respected the Cubs. But again, up until they won the World Series, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago, whatever the fuck that was, up until that point, the Cubs hadn't won a World Series ever. It was like a 100-year fucking drought. So I respect the Cubs and everything, but I grew up going to Brewers games. Same reason why I'm a Bucks and Bulls fan, because I learned about Jordan at the same time. Bradley Center tickets were – they were giving tickets away. So whatever was cheap, I got to watch, you know, Vin Baker and Sam Cassell. Like, I was watching the Bucks in person, but I was admiring the Bucks family connection. So that's a big reason why I'm very much like a – I call myself like a border child. Like, I'm both sides when it comes to those things. The biggest reason I don't like the Packers is the fans. It's never been about the Packers. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can't stand them now. But when I became a football fan, Packer fans, when you were even talking nicely about the Bears – would just crush you. And I never understood that shit. Like, why does it matter which side you are? I didn't get sports rivalries when I was a kid and all that. But growing up, I felt Packer fans were meaner to Bears fans than Bears fans were to Packer fans. Not saying that's correct, but that was the impression I got. So to me, when I became an adult and started really watching football, I always had that soft spot for the Bears and said, you know what? If I'm going to join a team, I'd rather. And at the time, the Packers were wildly successful too. Brett Favre was, I think he just won a Super Bowl. And I was just like, damn, like, they're like the best team in the league. I don't want to go into football and just root for the best team. That's why I'm not a Patriots fan. I didn't like Tom Brady either. I like an underdog. So the Bears kind of became that symbol of underdog for me. And there you go. That's why I'm a fan. It's it kind of stemmed from a split pass between Milwaukee and Chicago.
Man, if you were just going for underdog, you should just pick the Lions.
I mean, shit. But I had never been to Michigan in my life, bro. So,
yeah, no, I'm just
you know, if anything, I'd be a Vikings fan because I, you know, lived in Minnesota for fucking 3 years when I was becoming a football fan. So I've been to more technical Vikings games than Bears games. But when it was the Vikings Bears, I was always like, you know, fucking go Bears. But I have a soft spot for the Vikings. I just, you know, their fan base doesn't bother me. They can talk shit, but it's like, you're the Vikings.
That's because you don't know a lot of Hmong people that are Viking fans. So
not really, no. I guess I don't.
Man, like, I tell you, they be talking like they don't want plenty Super Bowls already. I'm like, bro, y'all can't even beat us twice in the same season.
Yeah, no. Like, so, what are you celebrating?
Chill out, bro. Chill out. Right. Just chill out, man.
Like, if you're a Browns fan, like, good for you, but you have no place to talk shit about anything.
But see, that's the thing. Browns fans, they don't be talking shit.
No, they're quiet. They're loud there, but
there's some of the most knowledgeable football fans across the globe. I swear to God, I promise
they have,
you.
No, it's because they have to be.
It's always the teams that are like the Lions, that are like the Browns, that are like the Texans, that always have the most knowledgeable fan bases. Yeah. Because our teams have been asked for so long, we have no choice but to just analyze the game. Because if we just analyze our team, we're just going to be depressed.
Exactly. You learned a lot from all the losses. And it does show. So you're very knowledgeable fan bases, which is also the reason why, like, when the Lions are successful, I don't hate. I don't run against it, which is I don't get people who do that. People are like, oh, the Lions are trash. They think they're good. I'm like, they have been in hell for the entirety of their existence, even when they had superstars. And they finally figured out how to open the window that some teams never figure out how to do. And you are salty about it. What's your problem? So
It's only because of one thing, our attitude. That's really it. It's not Patriot-like. It's not Patriot-like.
I would argue it is, but that's a discussion for another day.
Yes. How ironic that is.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. But I ask about your baseball and the growth of fandom you're getting for it. I need to know something, though. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to baseball movies, how many have you seen? Do you have a favorite? Oh,
yes. It's not even close.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Hardball. Not even close.
How do you pick the one baseball movie with the saddest fucking ending I've ever seen? I can't even watch that movie anymore.
That's how good it was. It was so touching. It grabbed you. It made you so emotionally connected. That's what made that movie so good.
Oh, my. I'm like cringing just thinking about
it. No spoilers.
That.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. No spoilers. It's a Keanu Reeves movie, folks. It's him coaching a inner city youth baseball team.
Michael B. Jordan.
Exactly. That's all I'm going to say about it. If you haven't seen it, it's 100% worth the watch. But the ending?
Grab some tissue.
Holy fuck. I didn't see it coming, and it hits you like a brick. So brace yourself. That's your favorite of all baseball movies? That's the favorite?
Not even close. Not even close.
How many have you seen, though? What are we comparing this to? Like, limited amount of baseball movies?
Limited.
Let me go through a list. Sure. Have you seen Field of Dreams?
Yes.
Okay, so Hardball over Field of Dreams. Have you seen The Sandlot?
Yes. That's number two.
Hardball over The Sandlot?
Yes. Sandlot is fun. Oh, my God. That's a fucking fantastic movie.
That's a classic.
I'm going Hardball because of the emotional connection I had to them.
Wow.
I don't know what it is, man. Like, you know, like, a lot of people gravitate towards, like, happy endings and sunshine and rainbows at the end. Not me. All right. Yeah. Take me to the graveyard. Take me to take me to wherever the fuck, the slums. I don't give a damn. Like, I want to see the real. Like, I want to be captivated by what I'm seeing.
Man.
And so that's why I mess with Hardball. And on top of that, it's a great story.
I mean, it is. Don't let me knock it. It's a great movie. It's just a gut punch. That's all.
Yes.
Man. Okay. Okay.
What the wave about... of emotions as a fucking 7-year-old or whatever the fuck I was watching that movie.
Yeah, because I was going to say, that sounds like trauma to me. I have seen it as an adult, but I have not seen it as a father. I can't watch that as a father. That will wreck me.
I know why, and we're not going to say why.
We're not going to say why, but yeah, fuck that. Wow, that it's that high for you. What about like A League of Their Own?
I have not seen that. But I've seen this, bro. What's that one movie? It's actually a comedy. You know the dude in Paul Rudd. What's his name? Who's the dude that plays Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd is an actor.
Oh,
Paul Rudd is his real name, bro. Paul Rudd plays Paul Rudd, bro.
Yo, what the fuck? Oh, Joe Dirt. I meant Joe Dirt.
That's David Spade, bro.
David Spade.
Who plays Paul Rudd? Yes, David Spade plays Joe Dirt.
Yeah, anyway, he's in that fucking baseball movie I was talking about. Oh. I can't remember what it was called, but
oh man, I didn't even know a David Spade. Hang on, David Spade,
baseball. Or it might have just been them playing baseball in the team.
The bench warmers.
Bench warmers. That's probably third.
That's a funny fucking movie.
It's third.
Man, oh man. Okay, what about like my absolute favorite rookie of the year?
Yo, honestly, I've never seen it. I guess I gotta watch it.
I need you to watch that movie tonight. I think that's your homework for next episode, because I need you to report back and let me know what you think of that movie. All right. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna judge you a little bit based on this answer. No pressure. That movie is that fucking funny to me. My kids love that movie. My wife loves that movie. It's an iconic comedy about a kid playing baseball for the Cubs. And I'm not going to say anything more. Just the way it all unfolds, the comedy, the writing is top notch. It is a core memory of my childhood. So again, no pressure, but I'm going to need you to report back on how you feel about that movie.
Roger that. I got you.
Oh my God. I'm so excited for you.
Yes, man. I don't think I put any more money on any of these other games. Nope, I did not. So by the time we get off, all my bets will either be fried, most likely. So yeah, I'll turn it on as soon as we get off this. And yeah.
Fair enough. Knicks are down 117 to 119 with a second left to go in overtime.
Nope, I have no faith.
No.
You know why? You know why? Because the spread was exactly 2 points, Boston minus two. So the game's going to end with this score and no one's going to win any money.
I believe you. I believe you 100%. That's the fucked up part about it. Like, here we go. It's going to be that bullshit. No one's getting paid tonight. Everyone go home.
No one at all. And Knicks were up double digits at half.
Oh, my goodness. Man, instead of losing money, I think we should just switch focus and fire up that tick of the week.
Time to make someone 1% more famous. It's the tick of the week.
Ooh. What you got for us?
This one is going to be hilarious to get your reaction for it. This is Lana Reach, who does a podcast of her own, it seems like. I've not heard of her. Something about dating makeovers. We'll see. But this one is about a single lady and her setting her price for what she believes a potential boyfriend should bring in to a relationship with her in a net income sort of way. And I'm going to preface this by saying, you be nice. Don't comment the way I was going to comment, because a lot of us commented like that and it's not nice. So be nice when you respond to this.
I'll do you a favor.
He's going to mute. All right. Here we go.
You want a financially stable. Are you looking for certain numbers? Like
yes. Yes. I'm okay. Looking between 600,000 and 800,000. Obviously more is good, but that's what I want to start with.
So 600 is your bare minimum, you said.
Well, maybe 500.
We went down.
The cost of living in LA is so high. That,
it is.
And I really love to travel.
Okay, and you want a man to cover?
If he can, yeah. Because I bring feminine qualities. I can cook. I can give good back massages. I can listen well. So I think it's only fair.
So it's worth it. Yeah.
It's worth it, uh-huh. yeah.
Okay. Is anyone making $500,000-$600,000 here watching it? Leave us in the comments, please, guys. Is that a good trade? Would you trade your salary with the back wraps and cooking and cleaning? Let us know. We want to hear it. You say
the back rubs. Your face said a lot in that minute clip there. You okay over there?
All right, man. I'm gonna try to contain my emotions because I got most of them out already.
I think I was on mute.
You know, sometimes in life, I wish it was like click where I get a mute remote button and I could just mute myself and just go crazy for a second. But anyway,
I think they make that.
Anyway, you know, as the host was asking the question, you know, I subconsciously, I don't know why, I might just be crazy. I was expecting a badass form bitch standing right next to her, but it was
be nice.
But it was Helga. If y'all know who Helga is, it was Helga. And you know what I'm saying? You already hard to want.
This is you being nice.
You already let's be real, man. You already hard to want. You didn't even have the decency to straighten your hair, comb your hair, nothing. Like, you already hard enough to want. You gonna make it impossible to want you? Like,
how? Yeah, but she brings feminine qualities. She said that. Back rubs, cooking, cleaning.
That's great.
Yeah.
But do a 360 for me real quick. You gonna be able to get my dick up? Because if I'm paying your bills, you better be sucking my dick. And you're not gonna suck on my gummy worm. No, you're not gonna suck on my gummy worm. Nah, you need a ladle.
The ladle. Wow. What a visual. Oh my God.
I mean, it's a bar because you know. Yeah.
Yes. I get the sentiment. I'm not against the idea that you should aim high. If you know what you want, girl, don't let us stop you. Go for it. You should have the mentality. However, looks aside, whatever you, because you know what? One man's yuck is another man's yum. It's a big wide world. There's somebody out there for that girl. Him being that rich, though, is statistically very, very slim. I just don't understand why that should be the standard for her when it seems like priorities could be faced elsewhere in this capacity. That is my very diplomatic answer for this, but I had the same thought you had originally was, I wasn't expecting it.
I was expecting, you know, like Megan Good or, you know, somebody like that talking, but.
Well, what do you think? No. If it was Megan
Good. But, you know, listen, and I'll be honest. All a female has to be to get attention is cute.
It helps.
And if a dude got money, it ain't tricking if you got it.
Mm. Bars.
That's all I got to say. Mm. Tell me if you ever seen, obviously, a rich man. Who's in his bachelor's era. Mm-hmm. When have you ever seen him with an ugly chick?
I haven't seen it.
Whether again, she's a celebrity or not.
We're not calling her ugly. It's just unexpected.
Ladies and gentlemen, Siege is not calling her ugly. Siege is absolutely 1000% not calling her ugly. But Rizzy is. I'm standing on it. And fuck, let's just be real, man. But that's the thing, though. Like, the issue with dating nowadays, looks aside, is that people don't look for love. People just look for a paycheck.
Right.
And that's why a lot of us men, like me, are slowly coming to the realization that, you know, it's cool if I never get married. Because nowadays, this whole dating scene is just saturated with a bunch of women that just want you for your money and, you know, surface level bullshit.
Feels like a first date. It's like an interview instead of actual connection.
Right. What happened to just kicking it?
Right.
What happened to just, why can't we just go on a cruise by the lake or something, smoke some weed, get some good food, chop it up, you know, go on a nice walk? Like, why can't we just do that? Why I gotta take you to Cheesecake?
In Paris. She's asking for that kind of money?
Yeah, we got that money? Shit at Mayfair Mall.
Not Mayfair. Gotta aim a little bit higher than Mayfair, bro.
But that's my point.
But I get you, though. I get you. Yeah, they only, if you're not bringing like that Red Lobster level, I guess that's fine dining. Red Lobster level, at least bare minimum. You
Texas Roadhouse,
luck, right? Hey, America's number one chain restaurant now. I just read that today. Texas Morales is number one. I said, damn.
Okay. Okay. I respect that.
I see you. I like a good steak.
I respect that. Hell yeah.
But that's still Texas Roadhouse. That's not fucking like an actual steakhouse. That's some shit on a yacht.
Yeah.
That's that kind of money, man. If she's looking for that kind of money, that means my ass is in poverty. And I said, damn. That's a trip. I'm married and I'm poor.
He said, I'm in poverty.
Poverty with a capital T Y. Let me stop. Let's move on. Kalina, start the music before we get sued out here.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the fake friends.
This is the Bank Bro Show, y'all. Welcome back. Happy you're with us. Thanks for giving us another shot. My name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy. You already knew that. Let's go forward with the rest of the show. It's a big basketball heavy episode. Lots of championships were provided to amazing teams over this past weekend. So we got to break it down for you. And I want to start with the women's NCAA championship game between the University of Connecticut and the South Carolina Gamecocks. So that game, big stakes, Paige Beckers. Everyone knew about her. Probably number one pick in the WNBA draft coming up here. Put it on the show. What did you see in this game, sir? How did it all break down for you?
You know, I'll be completely honest. I didn't watch this game as closely as I have wanted to because I was paying attention to other games. And I'll be completely honest as well, mainly because Juju Watkins wasn't playing. And honestly,
I know.
I don't know. I felt weird. But no disrespect to Paige Beckers, because I've said it forever. She does everything on the basketball court at a top S-tier level. I'll say that. She does everything. She can defend, pass, shoot, rebound, whatever the case may be. But what I saw from this game was Paige Beckers get a lot of help from her teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw Paige Beckers and UConn take the defending champion South Carolina Gamecocks or game women.
It's Gamecocks.
Game vaginas? Game vaginas?
No! They're just female Gamecocks. That's how it is.
That means they're the game.
A Gamecock is a chicken. They're female chicken. All right.
Anyway, they completely ran them out the gym, and they're the defending champs.
Yeah.
So hats off to UConn. Gino has solidified himself as one of the greatest coaches of all time, regardless of fucking sport. He is one of the greatest coaches of all time. I don't even know how many championships he has now. Mm. But he's been through eras and eras and eras of S-tier coaching and also coaching S-tier talent.
Mm.
So, you know, hats off to UConn and that whole program. That's why they are who they are.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this was a beating. They beat the brakes off South Carolina. You know, not having Juju is one thing, but this is pretty fucking crazy. I mean, this is UConn's first title win since 2016 after like a 9-year drought. You know, UConn used to dominate here. So, yeah, Beckers played.
9 years, wow.
I know, right? But then UConn's always, and for the women, UConn's been that fucking team, man. That's like Patriots.
That's true.
So
very true.
That's just their history. But, yeah, Beckers, you know, she still was, you know, 17 points in her final collegiate game. So, you know, hats off to her. Amazing performance there. But, yeah, she's had a lot of injuries we knew about, too. You know, like fracture, meniscal tear, ACL injuries. Like, she's had it all, you know. So, her still being able to go out there and perform high level like this going out of college is fantastic. Getting a championship to boot is amazing. So, that was awesome. I mean, yeah, I saw the same thing. You know, a lot of help, 24 points from FUD, you know, over all scorers in this game. Sarah Strong added double-double. You know, it's – you know, they dominated here. So this was, I think we had up, what, 10 points at halftime here? And then they.
Yeah. And they almost 30 balled them. Almost 30 balled them. Yeah.
Crazy, you know? So, and they had a 12-3 run in the third quarter, and that was pretty much it. You know, South Carolina never recovered from that shit. So, yeah, man. It was pretty dominant performance. ratings were good, but not as good as the last couple of years. But that, again, when you see...
That's expected.
It's expected, exactly. When you see this kind of thing going on, you know it's going to happen. But again, future's bright. We say it every fucking year for women's basketball. Future's bright as fuck. Lots of stars made of this.
We get a... I mean, Juju is still young. She's going to miss the next season because of her ACL. But, man, she's coming right back. Man, women's basketball, man, it's on the rise. The talent is there.
Absolutely. And y'all in these fucking negative comments I keep seeing, y'all need to chill the fuck out, man. Stop being so damn threatened by women's sports. It's crazy. Every time I go see...
I don't get it.
I don't understand it whatsoever.
They're more athletic than most men that you'll ever come in contact with.
Right! Like, are you kidding? Like,
you know, I think I don't know what it is, but I don't know about y'all out there, but I ain't gonna say all that. Maybe it's that.
Nope, it's that. It's that TDE. And y'all know what I mean.
Ooh, that's a bar.
Woof!
But, you know, I actually grew up around a lot of dominant female athletes that I went to school with. Funny enough, someone I went to school with actually ran track for UConn.
That's crazy.
Played basketball at Dominican. Like, she cold. Growing up, I've always respected women's sports, man, because I'll be honest. Some men females out there, they was busting my ass in basketball. I ain't gonna lie. They were.
Right?
Man, fucking 6 feet. I'm like, God damn. Oh, shit.
I know I can't do shit about it. I have no skills because of that, so.
And we were in middle school.
Right. Shit. Didn't even matter. So, yeah, respect. Respect that shit.
Yeah.
Moving on, the men's championship also went down. Number one seeds faced off. For all the marbles, Florida Gators taking on the Houston Cougars NCAA championship. Yes, how did you see this game going? That one I know you watched pretty closely.
Now, this one I watched very closely, not only because I had money on the game, but also because I was very interested in the schematics of the game and how it would play out. So you have the Houston Cougars, who are a tough, gritty basketball team, love to play defense, get physical, rough you up. And grind the game out that way. That's exactly how they beat Duke. And then you have Florida, the clean, pristine, can't touch me type of offense. Intricate plays, very detailed, but also a very underrated defensive team. So I was very excited to see how this would play out. In the first half, I'll be honest, Houston came out and punched them in the mouth.
Yeah.
Like, defensively, Houston was in their chest. Pause. Houston, they were out rebounding Florida in the first half. They got to every loose ball. They hit shots. They did everything they needed to do. They executed the game plan to the T. And on the flip side, when defending the best player in all of college basketball, yes, you heard me right. When Houston was defending the best player in college basketball, Walter Clayton Jr., what they did was in the high screen and roll game, they trapped him with the big and the guard or the wing defender. So they really tried to take away Walter Clayton Jr., and to their credit, they did in the first half. He didn't score.
Zero.
He had a donut. Mm-hmm. But one thing he was doing, he was making those pocket passes right on the money. I don't know how many assists he had. But he was making those pocket passes right on the money. And I think he had seven assists.
Seven.
He averages four. So that goes to show you. He was moving that thing. Pause. Mm-hmm. We had to pause for a little bit longer for that.
I was trying to
ever go through a segment seriously.
Damn it. Damn it. You're cruising too.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, that was the story of the first half, and Houston, you know, went into halftime with a double-digit lead. Florida came back out, and this is where the game changed. What happens when fatigue sets in? Are you still going to hold that same level of intensity and physicality that you started the game with? Are you still going to execute on offense and defense the same way you were executing to begin with? And we found out that answer is no. And one thing we found out about Florida is they're steady. Even though they were down, coming out of halftime, they stayed with their sets. They still ran their plays, and they got their buckets here and there. They got their stops here and there. And you know why they got their stops here and there? It's because where Houston struggles is on the offensive side of the ball. Coach Sampson does a great job coaching this team defensively, but he does a terrible job X's and O's wise on the offensive side of the ball. Buckets were hard to come by in the second half for this Houston team. A lot of that had to do with players starting to miss shots because of fatigue or nerves or whatever the case may be. But in my opinion, I think the coach should have put his players in better positions to score, such as Florida's head coach. Now, there's a play that I want to go over.
Okay.
Because it's fucking, it's such a beautiful setup. So Will Richard had a fantastic game, led Florida in scoring, 18 points, hit 4 of 7 three-pointers. Definitely the MVP form. And he's a senior, so he went out on a bang. And now what you're going to see on this play is Florida using their best player, Walter Clayton Jr., off the ball as a spot-up shooter. And this is exactly what I was crying for during halftime. Get your best player off the ball because he keeps getting fucking trapped. Now, here's what we're going to see, ladies and gentlemen, as we roll the tape. So Walter Clayton Jr. is bringing the ball up. You see the score, 57-63, 3:22 left on the clock in the game. Go ahead, roll the tape. I'll tell you when to pause, all right? All right, so Walter Clayton, he's going to make this pass to the weak side. Pause it. Now, this is very important, all right? We need to know who he passed it to. His name is Thomas Hall. I think that's how they say his name, Thomas Hall. Now, his role on this team is similar to Draymond. So he's a big that can make plays, score a little bit, do a little bit of everything. And it's very important because he's a playmaker, good passer. You need that. So you see Walter Clayton Jr. over here coming to set a screen along with the big man. Looks like it's going to be a double screen for the hot man, Will Richard. Roll the tape. So they're going over to set a screen. Pause it. Now, what did you just see happen right there? It was a screen for the screener. So Will Richard looked like he was going to get the ball for a shot, but instead he turned around, faked it, set the screen, and the screen setter, who was Walter Clayton Jr., actually turns into the shooter, runs off of the first pick, runs off of the second pick from the big, and gets a wide open three. Cash money, baby. That's very Golden State Warriors-esque. Shout out to the head coach of the Florida Gators, man. That was a beautiful play call. I absolutely admire you, sir. And that is exactly why the Florida Gators won this game. They executed better on offense in late game situations. They've done that all year long. And we've seen it time and time again, and we saw it again on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, man. That shit was wild. And you're right. There's a tale of two halves for that shit. Go ahead.
I almost forgot. We got to talk about that last play.
Yes. I was hoping you're going to bring it up.
Because that right there proves my point. Offensive execution. There's levels to this shit. You know, they say defense wins championships, right? I highly disagree. It's an age. All right. Y'all got to wake up. All right. This ain't the 1990s no more. All right.
Here we go.
Y'all got to understand that offenses have gotten too good. Players are too skilled. They are bigger, faster, and stronger, and more skilled than they have ever been, and that's a fact. All right? And this showed you again, the better defensive team lost. You tell me who won the championship. The team who led the nation in scoring won the championship. All right?
That's true.
And so the last play of the game, Houston didn't even get a shot up.
They didn't. That was crazy. It was like, what? Like, how long was that clock?
It was like a good... It was a double-digit second.
I know it was double-digit seconds. Was it at least 15 seconds when they couldn't even get a shot off?
That's an eternity in basketball.
Crazy.
And you have so many issues on that play. You had the two bigs who looked like they weren't screening hard, trying to get their guys open. And then you had, I forgot who it was, that Sharp.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sharp.
Jumped up at the end.
Yep.
When he could have just pump faked.
He tried, and then he knew he couldn't touch the ball again. He just stood there. And I was like, again, what's happening?
Details on the offensive end of the basketball court matter. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, one thing I want you to take away from this, throw away all that shit you heard about defense wins championships. All you got to be is marginal defensively, but great defensively in spurts. That's all you have to be to win championships in today's game. You want me to give you an example? Kansas City. They were led by their defense all year, got to the Super Bowl and lost. Their offense put their defense in bad positions. Philly's offense didn't even work hard.
No.
They just capitalized on great field position. That's all it was.
Easy money.
Complimentary football. Prove my point right there. Defense no longer wins championships. Offense does. Shout out to the Gators.
Man, that was crazy. And the players you mentioned were great. I mean, Walter Clayton, yeah, that first half was nothing. But Duke got like 11 points second half. Had that crucial stop at the end, you know. And Will Richard, yeah, 18 points in that one. I mean, it was crazy. Very close game, 65-63 for the finale. And, I mean, Houston had good scores, too. L.J. Crier with 19 points. But, yeah, it's just those turnovers in the last 30 seconds or so just crushed Houston. And once I saw they couldn't even get a shot off and the way it all unfolded, the look on the coach's face, I was just like, damn. Like, losing is one thing, but if you a baller, bro, like, you got to take that last shot no matter what. at least go out on the sword. I know there's nothing they could do about it, but fuck, man. It was a mess to finish, and I think that's going to be long-lasting for them more than just the loss. It's the way they lost. Oh, crushed them. But ball is ball. That's the game, folks.
Man. And, you know, I will say this. Although I had money on the Florida Gators because I knew they were the better team offensively, I was really rooting for the Houston Cougars, man.
Yeah.
Because their brand of basketball is very Pistons-like. And they were very easy to root for from a fan's perspective. It was just frustrating to see the poor execution at the end. But, you know, all in all, not going to lie, it was a pretty good year for March Madness.
I think so. Entertaining bracket. A lot of surprises, but not – I mean, there's some surprises. But the ones that I get – my looking at my bracket right now, like
– You got most of yours right, huh?
I got most of mine right. 96.7% finale. And the Gators winning.
That's really fucking good. Right, mine is like at 30% because I picked a bunch of upsets that never happened. This was like one of the few years where it was all chalk.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing where I was like, that's what I normally randomly pick is chalk games. And this time it fucking paid off. So yeah, man, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I have a lot of green on my board. I got the final four right, except I had Duke instead of Houston. That was it. So
I had Alabama beating them. Oh, no, I had Houston in my final four. I had Houston beating Alabama.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah,
I think my rank was like, I'm still like the 800,000, but under a million? I think it's the first time I ever got that in my rank, so I'll take it.
That's really good, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's hard work and zero research. Didn't watch a damn game all season.
You know, I realized those are the best people to predict basketball, the people who do no research.
None.
Because it's the people like me who get everything wrong that do all the research.
That's me in fantasy football. That's been my problem. I've been doing too much research. I need to just go with my gut again. Find the old me. Man, speaking of offensive outputs, let us switch gears to the NBA. There is some breaking news that happened today that we definitely have to get into.
Thank God. I thought I was going to have a heart attack again.
Yeah, I mean, of course. The Denver Nuggets have experienced a season of lots of highs, some challenges. They've got a 47-32 record, I believe, about fourth in the Western Conference. Jokic is still the driving force, the engine, averaging almost 30 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. He's playing like an MVP. They had a shaky start, but they kind of found the rhythm now. Got 21 in the last 30 games they've won, so they're doing pretty well. And other than the injuries to Jamal Murray, people like Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., they're helping out too. It's a big turnaround for them. But in a very shocking move earlier today, the Nuggets announced that not only did they fire their general manager, Calvin Booth, they fired head coach Michael Malone. And let me remind you, folks, we are very close to the playoffs and the Nuggets are still in contention, but he's gone. The assistant coach, David Adelman, has been named interim head coach. Rizzy, what the fuck is going on?
Hey, man, I have no fucking idea. Someone help us. Because clearly, apparently, the both of us have been living under a rock. Because I don't know if we sound crazy or not, but we didn't see this coming.
Not at all.
So I don't know if you know this, but I think this maybe played a factor. So Calvin Booth and Mike Malone have actually been low-key beefing for a little bit.
I saw some smoke from that earlier today. Is that true?
It is true. Here's where they stand or stood because they no longer work together or work in general. So Mike Malone wanted to continue to add veterans that can contribute to, you know, possibly repeating a championship that they just won, you know, to try to, you know, make something special of this run while you still have the best player in basketball in Nikola Jokic, right?
Yes.
But Calvin Booth is like, no, I like my draft picks. So I'm going to take like Peyton Watson and Christian Braun and Dayron Holmes. And we're going to get rid of dudes like Bruce Brown because Peyton Watson can do the same things that he does. Funny, you know, I mentioned that losing Bruce Brown was really going to hurt him. And look what happened. You know who they lost? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Ooh, that hurt them a lot too. 3-and-D, consistent shooter. Jokic loved playing with him. You replaced him with Christian Braun, a streaky white boy. Nice. So basically, that's where the beef was. One person wanted the roster one way. The other person saw it the other way. I don't know if you saw the clip, but Mike Malone called out his entire team in front of the media. He was like, you know, basically saying, not his exact quote, but he basically said, nobody here fucking watches film. The dudes that are serious, I know who they are, and I'm tired of preaching to the choir.
Ooh, I didn't see that. Damn.
And so, in my opinion, you just had to fire one guy, and you fired him, but you made the mistake and fired the dude you should have kept.
Mm.
You should have kept the one that's passionate. You should have kept the one that demands better out of their players and holds them accountable.
How about the one who got them a championship just a few years ago?
And guess what he was doing? He was doing his job.
Yes.
He was coaching.
Mm, what a concept.
And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure Jokic ain't happy. You know Mike Malone flew to Serbia to kick it with dude in the summertime just because? Like, that's the relationship they got. And you fired that guy. Yeah, good luck trying to keep Jokic when he wants to go to Milwaukee.
Ooh, we would love him here. That'd be great.
Because I don't think I said it on the show yet, but I was talking to a friend of mine and I was saying, if the best duo the league does not want to see that can absolutely happen is Giannis and Jokic.
Oh, Lord help us all.
Because I was saying Giannis might leave Milwaukee and go to Denver because Denver has the assets to trade for Giannis. Contracts will match up at everything. They got Aaron Gordon. They got Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
They got Jamal Murray. You can have your pick, Milwaukee. You got all these first round picks too.
Right.
But now it might be easier than we thought. It might just be a free agent signing.
My God.
So I don't know. I think Jokic ain't happy. That's all I gotta say. I'm not saying he's gonna leave, but he ain't happy.
Man, y'all forget team chemistry includes the coach too. Kind of the person setting the culture there. Kind of need that. Man. Just saying, especially. It's not even that you even fired him. You fired him at this point of the season? What's the message you just sent to your fucking locker room? That's insane. The instability is going to be is crazy. That's documentary worthy. So what the fuck happened that caused you to cancel this man's contract now before the playoffs? It had to be something ridiculous. It damn well could be your explanation for sure. Just philosophy differences, and let's go from there. But this is drastic.
Yeah, and ownership was probably like, you know what? Fuck both you guys. We're starting over.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, start over after the fucking offseason, man. Like, start over now.
I agree. When the playoffs are about to start and you're only half a game up on the fucking eighth seed.
Like, y'all, this close with the next three teams behind you? Like,
one loss, you could be in the play-in.
Right. I can see if the season was done and y'all ain't got no chance, but what?
Did y'all forget y'all in the West?
Right. Like,
y'all not in the East, bro. Y'all would have been cool if y'all in the East.
This is y'all in the West, bro. Motherfucker.
Bro, first round, you might see Steph Curry.
Right.
You might see LeBron and Luka.
You know, the Wild West that Will Smith is rapping about is this one.
and oh my God, man. Oh.
I don't get it. I don't understand. So,
I guess the downfall started sooner than what we all thought. Because honestly, it looked like they were going to be a scary team going into the playoffs. Like, you still got to worry about them. I was actually going to say that until they fired their coach today.
Does this even happen if Murray gets hurt or doesn't get hurt?
I think this happens regardless.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't bad. Because Murray feels like the linchpin here where he got hurt and all just the last, like, 48 hours just fell apart.
No, in my opinion, I think now this is a very, very rare opinion. They need to find a better star next to Jokic than Jamal Murray.
Well, who?
I feel like contract-wise, the Nuggets are fucked. Because they're paying Aaron Gordon a lot of money. A while ago, Michael Porter Jr. actually signed a max back then. So he's making like $38, close to $40 million a year.
Who are you getting? What star are you getting with that little bit of cash?
They're fucked. Like, they would have to move. They would have to gut the team.
Yep. I was going to say.
And
two or three of them.
I mean, shit. In my opinion, fuck it. I would talk to Jokic and be like, look, where you want to go, man? Like, what you want to go from here? Like, do you want to stick with this group? Like, you want to retool? Because if you want to retool, bro, I'll move motherfuckers tomorrow.
Right. Then what you want to do? Help me help you.
Yes, because we building around him. Jamal Murray, injuries have been a story of his career.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr., same thing.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon, low-key, you can keep him. You can win with Aaron Gordon.
He can. He's got talent.
He plays defense. He he can play the role man with Jokic, and he's very good in the short role, good playmaker. I think you'll be okay keeping him.
Sure.
But the other two, they've been underwhelming for what you're paying them for.
Right. But then again, I what star do you get?
You can look. I don't know what team is selling right now.
Yeah.
But I'll throw this out there. Bradley Beal, Jamal Murray helps both teams. Denver, terrible three-point shooting team. I don't know if you know this. They're like bottom tier of the league when it comes to three-point scoring.
Okay.
Bradley Beal would definitely help them there. Bradley Beal actually plays games.
it's kind of important.
Yeah. He'll play about 60 games a year, which is – that's cool.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jamal Murray gives Phoenix a point guard.
True. I do think the Phoenix experiment is not working.
Yeah, it wasn't working yesterday.
No. So yeah. That's not a bad idea.
I'm just trying to think of some more moves they can make. Maybe they go see what the Clippers want to do. Talk to the Clippers. Like, just see, because James Harden and Jokic, now we talking.
That'd be something.
James Harden and Jokic, because I was going to say, you trade Murray and MPJ for James Harden.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
if they're looking to, like, just, like, reset. Like, yeah. Just, you know what I mean?
Don't do a Luka. Don't sell off Jokic. I'm saying to them. Don't do that. Don't be Dallas. You got to build around one of these motherfuckers. But, you got to keep Jokic, bro.
And I got a third one for you. Last one.
Okay.
You hit up Philly. And you see what's up with Tyrese Maxey.
I like that move. That's a big move, I think. Because Maxey's all potential, too, still. He's a superstar.
You know, he just signed for a max. But, you know, nowadays, anybody can get traded. Fucking Luka got traded.
You
got
to move. Yeah. Luka opens the door for anybody.
Yeah. So, hit them up. You know, you give them MPJ. You give them Jamal Murray. You give them whoever the fuck they want. Like, as long as you can get Jokic and Tyrese Maxey.
You're all good.
Have a good day.
Oh, man. I noticed you didn't say anything about your beloved Pistons, and I'm going to set you up for this one, too, because folks may not understand the Detroit Pistons have experienced a turnaround for the ages this year after a tough 2023-2024. They have a playoff spot. First time since 2019. Cade Cunningham has been instrumental, getting his first All-Star selection, setting a franchise record. I think he's got, what, 6 triple-doubles this season? You guys got Tobias Harris.
No. Jr. I think he has 8.
Is it 8 now? See? He's fucking balling.
He's fourth in the league.
Right? You're getting experience from your guys, getting the good compliments for the young talent. Your fan base is re-energized. But somewhere, folks, in a very expensive loft overlooking the beautiful Milwaukee skyline, a man named Rizzy is sitting in his chair just stewing about the Detroit Pistons. Rizzy, you can unleash your feelings now.
Well, for those of you who don't watch the Pistons or any type of basketball, the Pistons lost to the Sacramento Kings by 10 last night on their home court at LCA.
Ow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have so many things to talk about here. One, I just want to oppose this question to Coach JB Bickerstaff. I know you're probably never going to hear this, but one day if you do, why the fuck is Dennis Schroeder guarding DeMar DeRozan? What in the fuck were you thinking, man? Like, I understand you put Kay Cunningham on Zach LaVine, light skin on light skin. I get it. But then you put like Tim Hardaway Jr. on Keon Ellis and Dennis Schroeder on DeMar DeRozan or some bullshit like that. All I remember seeing from yesterday's game was DeMar DeRozan getting every fucking open turnaround jumper he wanted because he had little old Dennis Schroeder guarding him. So he was just rocking him to sleep like a fucking baby. I got fucking tired of seeing that shit. I thought I seen Kobe just reincarnated. Swear to God. And then Zach LaVine, don't get me started on Zach LaVine. This man hit 7 step back threes from 50 feet. I promise you he did. I seen it with my own 2 eyes. Zach LaVine turned into Michael Jordan. And somehow, Kobe reincarnated and was DeMar DeRozan. Oh, shit. Did I forget? Domantas Sabonis just casually had a triple-double.
Oh.
You know, the 3 of them combined for like 100 points. That's fucking insane. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine combined for 80 points.
Yep.
What the fuck were we doing defensively, man? What happened to our identity? JB, this is low key. I ain't even. No, let me take that shit back because that shit never actually left. This is a schematic issue. Why the fuck was Dennis Schroeder guarding DeMar DeRozan? Like, I can't wrap my head around it. And number two, when Dennis fucking Schroeder is playing terrible defensively and terrible offensively, take him out the fucking game. Because you know who was balling in the fucking 10 minutes he played? Marcus Sasser. Marcus Sasser had more points and assists, more field goals made, more three-pointers made than Dennis Schroeder in about 20 less minutes.
He's feeling it.
Why is he on the bench? That's my other question. What is wrong with your rotations? When players are giving you a spark, shouldn't it be your instinct to keep them in the game?
Usually.
Ron Holland and Marcus Sasser came into the game, I think, early into the second quarter, and immediately sparked a Pistons run that led them to being up double digits at halftime. How are you up double digits at halftime? And like Dennis Schroeder got DeMar DeRozan. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? Your cushion is not that big. Pause. You are 15, not 150. The fuck? If Dennis Schroeder was the only man alive and someone had to guard DeMar DeRozan before I got shot, I will guard DeMar DeRozan.
Damn.
Because I know, regardless, I'm cooked. I'm cooked.
Yeah, that's true.
And you, number two, all right, third and last point. All right, because this is like a real. No, fuck that shit. All the shit I said is real.
Oh, I know it. I can feel it.
But this is the most unemotional one. And it's games like this where Jaden Ivey's impact, or loss, I should say, is really felt. Because in this game, you saw Cade Cunningham doing everything he possibly could to turn the tides for the Pistons. But there's only so much you can do when the entire defense is geared towards stopping you. He desperately needed his sidekick today, and Jaden Ivey. Let me remind y'all, Jaden Ivey hit a game winner in Sacramento earlier this year. Jaden Ivey definitely would have provided that extra punch for the Detroit Pistons. No one else on this team was getting their own shot. No one else on this team was creating offense for themselves. I mean, Marcus Sasser was, but he only played 10 minutes. You know, and it's games like this where you realize, like, yes, you hear the rumblings about this team is functioning better as a team ever since, you know, Jaden Ivey has gotten injured. But it's also games like this where you're like, wow, they could really use a Jaden Ivey, someone who forces himself into the game in a good way, in a way that's kind of like Russell Westbrook-esque, where if shit ain't going well, you know what he's going to do? He's going to use his speed and quickness and get right to the cup, draw a foul, get two shots, do whatever he can to get his team out of the hole that they're in. And the way Jaden Ivey plays is directly opposite to the way that Cade Cunningham plays, and that's why they work so well together. He can play off ball, and you know what he is? Extremely athletic and bouncy. That's not what Cade Cunningham is. Cade Cunningham, as you saw last night, he's a back to the basket guard, old school, low to the ground, smooth around the rim with his finger rolls, can shoot the ball. Like, he's not the type to dunk on you. He can, though. And you know, it's just games like this where us as Pistons fans really miss Jaden Ivey. And if he can come back before the playoffs, whew, that'd be
big.
Some
that's big. You're almost there too. I'm really, really hoping that the standings and the playoff picture stays exactly the way it is right now.
Yep.
Because the Pistons would face the Knicks in the first round. And we'd put some stakes on that series.
Oh yeah.
100%.
Like, I 100% believe the Pistons, with or without Jaden Ivey, they taking care of the Knicks.
We'll see.
2-1 against the Knicks this year.
I'm willing to put a big bet up for that one. So
let's
I'm
get
hoping
it.
I'm ready, right there.
Man, y'all have a Mikal Bridges guard Jason Tatum. Y'all have Mikal Bridges guard Cade Cunningham. Good fucking night.
They can't contain Cade, but they can slow everybody else
on the
down.
Flip side, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do with Cat.
See? Good fucking luck. So.
But on the flip side, Tibbs might coach himself out of this game by not going to Cat.
Yes, that's 100% on the books. That could happen.
But you know what else? You know what else could happen though? Dennis Schroeder could be guarding Cat.
That's for damn sure. That would be gold. Just to get your reaction, if they ran that kind of fucking.
And I actually like Dennis Schroeder. Don't get me.
I do too.
And you know what I'm saying? This was like, come on, man, Dennis.
He's still taller than me, so I can't talk shit. Short ass. I mean, shit. Wish I'm not even 6 feet. I can't even hit 6 feet, so I can't even fucking talk. Let's fucking finish up with a fan question.
Ooh, shit.
One hit the inbox. I know. Someone's finally brave enough to give us something. So here we fucking go.
Let's get it.
Is from Tariq in Milwaukee. Shout out Milwaukee. Shout out Tariq. It says, do y'all think the NBA is becoming more competitive, or is this just better talent distribution instead of weaker teams just catching up to the elites? Love the show. Keep cooking. Appreciate that, bro. What do you think, sir?
Okay, that's loaded question. So do I believe the NBA has become more competitive, or is there just an influx of talent?
Correct. And it's distributed a little bit better than it used
to be. Right.
No, not a lot of super teams or anything like that.
I don't think the league has become more competitive, like, you know, if you want to talk about the mentality, I guess you could say.
Sure.
I feel like that stayed the same. I definitely lean towards there's just more talent in the league now. Mm-hmm. And you can't deny that. You got a team like the Houston Rockets, where you had the third pick in the draft and Reed Shepard, who is a very talented guard. I don't know if you've seen him play in the G League, y'all, but you can tell when he was in the G League, he don't belong there because he belonged in the NBA.
Hey.
He over there cooking. He had like 30 in 20 minutes.
Jesus.
He was cooking. He can't even get minutes. Mm. And if you drafted third overall back in the day, you are at minimum coming off the bench getting some type of role. Because when you're drafted that high, you're expected to somewhat shift the franchise in one way or the other, right?
Right.
You know, top five pick, you're supposed to make an impact. You know, you got guys like Cam Whitmore who can't even get minutes. You got guys like Amen Thompson, mm-hmm. who can easily go anywhere, be a number two option maybe at this point of his career, and average a triple-double because he could do it.
Right.
He's just taking a lesser role on this team because this team is so loaded with talent. Fucking Jalen Green, he's taking a back seat. He can average 27 in this league.
Right.
Sengun, he's taking a back seat. He can average 25 and 13 mm-hmm. and damn near almost 10 assists if he wants to. He's baby Jokic. Like, this team is wildly talented, and some dudes can't even get ripped. Mm. So, and you see it nowadays too. Like, not only are we shooting more threes,
yeah,
we're making more threes.
That's a good point.
It's one thing to be shooting all these threes and be missing, but when we have multiple 40% shooters from three, that's never been seen before. You know, the average three-point percentage back in the 90s was in the 20s.
Right. It was low.
The average three-point shooting team in the NBA today, do you know what it is? I said it on the show multiple times. Mm. The average NBA team shoots about 35% from three.
You did say today. That.
So it's like, damn, that's a significant big skill gap, I would say. And I don't know if y'all know this, but the three-point line is actually further now than it was back then.
Yep.
Boom. And also players learned how to dribble with their left hand. That's a big
deal.
Here
we go again.
Hey, man.
You're not wrong.
Bob Cousy. Pull up Bob Cousy. How was he dribbling in the NBA Finals? That's all I got to say.
Hey.
But yeah, no, I strongly believe it's just an influx of talent.
Yeah. I mean, as a casual fan, I could say there's a lot of young talent. Just every time I watch, it's a random game, team I don't follow or something. Yeah, there's always some young superstar where I'm like, who the fuck is that guy? And it's usually spread out amongst any team I'm watching. It is not like the 90s where you only really watched a few of the elite teams because they had a bunch of talent, you know, the Magic Johnsons and all that shit. But like nowadays, yeah, you really could just pick any team and they have, even if they're a poverty franchise, they've got studs. The Pistons were shit for so long, but look at all the young talent they've cultivated over the last couple of years. Now you have all these fucking stars ready who can play for any team in any scheme. So I would agree. I do think it's just, it's talent has, I'm not going to say erupted, but it feels like it has erupted in the NBA. Pause. And it is fun to watch when you do kind of dive in and just, especially if you're not loyal to the team you're watching them and you're just enjoying the game for what it is. Yeah, the future is bright for the league. But I bring it back to the original point. Just market these guys better. I shouldn't have to, like, find some random TikTok of their clip to know that they're an NBA player. Like, it should be in my face the same way the NFL is. So market your stars better. You have talent all over this fucking league. We should know who they are. Put their faces out there. Let us get to know them.
I 100% agree.
Finishing up now with the two-minute drill. Hit it, sir.
Man, so with the two-minute drill, I actually wanted to do something a little different today. Ooh. And I'm actually going to talk about sports gambling, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So I actually just wanted to give y'all a tip. And the tip is do not parlay. I repeat, do not parlay. Single bets only.
I love promise. Parlays.
Parlays are great when you hit them.
Yeah, when you hit them. They don't love me. I just love them.
You know, parlays are made to put the dealer, I said the dealer, are made to put the sports books in an advantageous position because gotcha. You need all those legs to hit. You know, if one of them bitches miss, your whole shit is done. Mm. Whereas if you single bet, let's say all of them but one hit, you still up, my guy. The thing is, you're looking at the amount under how much you're betting to win. What you need to do is manage your bankroll, all right? Figure out how much you can actually play with. Pause.
Yeah.
Bet about 5% of that. Place that on every bet that you like. That's the best way to go about it. Whether those bets hit or not, that's totally up to you. But I repeat, do not parlay. Take it from me. And I'll give you some examples, man. Let me show you some bets I hit the other day.
Okay.
Yesterday, a single bet, Florida. I actually sold points back to the sports books because I was so confident Florida would win by two or more points. They won by exactly two. So I got plus 100 money on that. So I made I doubled my money.
Nice.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah, this is an example of what happens if you don't parlay. And you know what I'm saying? So check this out. I actually have two teams on this slip, all right, that I was thinking about parlaying. If you look at that, it's the Tigers and the Pistons. One says W, one says L. If this was a parlay, guess what? I would have lost my money. So the Tigers, I took them to cover, and they doubled my money because they were plus odds. And then, you know, I lost the Pistons. Fuck the Pistons. They got destroyed by the Kings. Oh, here's another single bet. Yankees to cover 1.5 runs, and they smack that. Oh, look at that. I hit another one. Tigers to cover 1.5 runs against the White Sox. They beat the shit out of the White Sox. Oh, what do you know? Another one. The Minnesota Twins to outright win. They beat the shit out of the Astros. Oh, my God. I am hot.
He's on fire.
Oh, what is this? I actually hit a parlay. Fuck, what is this? Oh, the Phillies to win and the Diamondbacks to cover 1.5 runs, and they both smacked. God damn. I'm on fire.
He's on fire.
Oh, shit. What's this? Another hit. Guardians minus 1.5 live bet. Oh, I smacked that too. Oh, what else did I hit? Oh, another parlay, an NBA one. What do you know? Golden State Warriors money line outright win and the LA Clippers to win by more than 10 points. That's another smack. Boom.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. That was all from Friday to yesterday. And today I just smacked OKC minus 9.5. So thank you very much for that. And I also got money on the Orioles. I'm going to check the score on that right now. I probably lost my money on that one.
No, what's crazy, though, is you completely called this fucking Celtics-Knicks game 119-117, final score. Nobody gets paid.
Wait, hold up. What was the over-under, man? That's what I want to know. Did it go over? Or did it go... Oh, it did go over. Okay, I was going to say. I know the over-under was pretty low, and they didn't score that many points.
Damn.
Yeah, they scored under 240, but... Okay, no, I was just seeing. But Celtics money line and the over. Trash. That was actually my fault. I made a mistake, and I guess this is my last tip before we end the night.
Gotcha.
Be patient. And I say that because you need to be patient and analyze how the spreads are moving, right? So you want to bet as close to game time as you possibly can because those are going to be the most up-to-date odds. that you want. And what I mean by that is the odds makers, they sway the odds one way or the other throughout the day until the game starts, depending on where the money's going and who they know is going to win, they being the sports books, them being Vegas. So for example, this game, I'll take this game for example. This game tricked me. So the line did what we call reverse moved. So to begin this game, when the odds of this game first came out, the odds were Boston to cover 2.5 points. So Boston had to win to 3 to cover their spread. And then obviously New York gets 3 points for free. The middle of the day, it swung New York's way. All of a sudden, New York was favored by 1 point and Boston was the underdog by 1 point. That's when I placed this bet. I took New York because, Vegas is favoring New York. And at the same time, if you look on my phone, the public bet is on the Celtics side. So if Vegas is favoring the Knicks and the public is favoring the Celtics, I'm going to go ahead and bet with the Knicks. Mm. So that was my thinking. I swear to God, this game tipped off at 6:30. At 6:15, I checked the spreads. It was Boston minus 2.
Oh.
What in the fuck, man? So I just played myself. So Vegas went, we're just playing. We actually know the Boston Celtics are going to win. Fuck you guys. And then it ended up being a push. So, yeah.
Man, see, that would have been a sure bet. Oh, man. But you know what is also a sure bet? Is the joy that these people are going to receive after seeing our content at the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, Red Note, and TikTok. TikTok is still here, folks. Don't worry about that ban. Fuck that ban. It was never going away anywhere, so it's fine. We're going to be all over the place with more content for your ass because it's fun for us. We like the enjoyment that we get from it. We like the enjoyment we get from you guys. We love the content that you're getting from you guys, too. It's awesome. Keep the TikToks coming. We're going to keep putting you guys out there and making you 1% more famous. That's what we like to do. But, yeah, hit up our mailbox like Tariq from Milwaukee. Shout out to Tariq. Give us more questions. We got plenty of answers for you, whether you like to hear it or not. But you know why that is? It's because the Bank Bros are in your city. Here for you, as we always have been. You can bank on it. Peace out, y'all. Have a good night.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Bank Bros. Blah, blah.